Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That I've got more leverage, that we should get more. But that there is no way, because you talk about chaos and Wild Wild West, you let the player and the company work that out together.
Well, who's supposed to work it out for them?
The representative for them in this instance, which in this case has to be Memphis.
Well, some people have said there
Memphis
needs to be
Memphis representative.
Some people have suggested online the last couple of days there needs to be a players union.
That's the way it needs to head.
There needs
quite
to be
frankly,
an NCAA, which they've resisted for all this time. But somebody that's representing the players, other than the school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Other than the university, other than
I think that person is necessary as well.
Yeah,
the school could look to.
That's the whole thing. Like Laird Veach is, and I'm just using Laird Veach as an example. But these guys have been getting money from all the athletes.
But you get
the whole
my point
way.
That it can't just be the business and the college player. Otherwise, that'll get.
But why not?
Well, how do they have any account then of what they've got, what they're getting?
Well, you have
that
to report.
Guy.
You have to, if you post
if
on social
have,
media,
if
then
you're
you have to report.
If
that.
You're going to have Title IX, all that stuff involved, we got to know what everybody's getting, right? So everybody gets an equal share.
Well,
at least the way it's lined up now.
A company is not just going to give Lester Quinones $10,000. Say, hey, kid, congratulations. They're going to want something in return, so he's going to have to do something. He's going to have to post on social media. He's going to have to make a video or something. You know, and anytime you post on Instagram for a sponsor, you know, there's a paid partnership with ad hat whatever.
Yeah.
You know, or else the algorithm filters it out. So he's going to have to. You know, we're using Lester as an example. You know, but if a tailoring company wants to pay him to do short ass shorts, he's going to have to report that.
Don't you realize that what you're inviting and the Pandora's box potentially that you're opening? What if it's a company that's got bad intentions?
Like
and
what?
I don't know.
Like
I'm not
crystals.
Gonna, here's the point. I'm not going to name a company, but here's the point. We want you. We love you so much. Here's $100,000. Go out there and shave a few points. And here's an extra couple hundred thousand. Like, are you kidding
me?
Well,
that's illegal.
I realize that.
They can do that now.
But every company ain't on the up and up, John. And some might just want that pub and be willing to say, okay, player, keep this under the hood.
Companies ain't waiting for the NIL to do that if they really want that.
Don't act like folks ain't tried to never fix a game or shave points.
I know,
before.
But I'm
like,
saying why are these shady companies going to wait on the NIL to pass?
I'm with you that someone should have someone, I guess, with their best interest. You'd like to think that that's the school, but having a third party on the having them in the meeting. But John, if you got no one over top of this monitoring, it'll get out of control.
Well, look,
what
I mean,
are you talking about with what these businesses could do?
There's going to be some trial and error. You know, there's going to be things that you learn when you do this, and then you're going to have to adjust, and you're going to have to. I mean, there needs to be a players union. Somebody has to help these players out, because what the hell would a freshman know about his market value
and
things like that? You
know,
I'm more worried about the player getting taken advantage of than anything else. I mean, that's what you wouldn't want to have happen. You know, and I was looking it up, like, you know, Jessica mentioned it. Like, I just Googled women's basketball Instagram, and like this guard for Fresno State, her name is Hannah Cavender, and she's got 250,000 followers on Instagram. That's so much. That's worth so much money. That reach, I mean, you could monetize that easily. Like, you could put a number on it. You could say, well, 250,000, you know, if 1% of all these people buy from, you know, I'll give you 45 grand to, you know, to post something on social media. You know, you can put numbers on this stuff. It's just a matter of how much will the, you know, NIL and all that account for, I mean, or allow you to get. I don't know.
I don't know what kind of caps they're going to be able to, how they're going to control it, but there got to be caps, because at some point then, if there are no caps, well, then school A, that's got all the power, can give everything.
Yeah.
School B, that's supposed to be on a level playing field, can't.
Right.
And so it's even more uneven than it is?
Yeah, it's a hell of a question. We'll talk to Paul Feinbaum about all of this and more at 12:25. It's NBA draft lottery night. We'll get into that. You know, what it means for the Memphis Grizzlies. Hint, not much, but we will get into how the Grizzlies could be impacted by the ping pong balls tonight. All that and more on the other side. Jason DeJohn, ID Turn FM, ESPN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Now, it's The Rundown, presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Ah, you can feel the electricity in the air.
Electricity.
Balls will be pulled out of a thing, and then teams will be announced as having that ball and that pick. And it will be one of the greatest things we've ever witnessed on television.
Oh, they were dramatic when the Grizzlies were involved.
Well, yes, when the Grizzlies are involved, and you all of a sudden know that. Wait a minute.
Way to hype ourselves up for that.
Wait a minute. They're not eight. They're not seven. They're not six. My God, they're not five or four or three. Then it was like, are the Grizzlies going
to
be number one?
Used to do whole shows around it.
Yeah, because
you know,
the Grizzlies used to be in the lottery, man.
Exactly.
They're not in the lottery anymore.
We've been touched.
So it is not very relevant to the city of Memphis anymore, but they're still going to hold a draft lottery for whatever reason tonight, even though the Grizzlies are not in it tonight at 7:30. That's going to be on ESPN, of course. Yeah, I mean, this is electrifying. This is great stuff. Came into work this morning. My man Jason had all the odds. He was going through the lottery. He wanted to know, man, can the Houston Rockets, can they get the number one pick? I was looking at my
Bulls and how they can. The Bulls going to lose their pick. Possibly. If Chicago doesn't move up to the top four,
it goes
to Orlando.
That's exactly right.
Vucevic trade.
Yes. But the draft lottery is tonight. Of course, most people believe it's, you know, winner gets Cade Cunningham, Oklahoma State guard.
Yes, that seems to be consensus.
Yep. So you've got your Houston Rockets right now with the best odds. If it falls out of the top four, it goes to Oklahoma City.
Correct.
This will be yet another pick for them. They're just compiling them at this point.
Yeah,
no,
they also have slotted for four.
No word on if Oklahoma City ever intends to use these picks. So,
why do y'all act like they got nothing?
They have everything. They have everything.
They also have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's like a player.
Yes.
And almost they had to reel him in because they were too damn competitive.
Remember, that's who Damian Ball was supposed to be. Gilgeous-Alexander. That's who he was supposed to be.
Damian Ball, good dude. But you keep bringing him up here and putting him in a position to get beat up on this show. I'm not going to do that. You keep putting him in that spot to get beat up here.
That one was legitimate.
Not doing that.
It's when they said
Shai Gilgeous is a real.
It's when they said Davion Warren was going to be the next Damian Ball. You mean like as in not here?
Damn.
Because, yes, you're in that sense, you are correct. He is the next Damian Ball in the sense that he is not at Memphis.
Okay, see, you and Benson are right. It's going, even if they get the two top five-ish picks tonight, it's on down the line for them. Mm-hmm. But come on, let's not act like they don't have a good start already.
No, eventually
with
they're going to be a thing. Eventually.
Dude is legit.
But it does feel like it is far in the future. Anyway,
it is, certainly compared to Golden State.
The Pistons, the Rockets, the Pistons, the Magic. They all have a 14% chance of getting the number one pick, right? They've redone the lottery here in terms of the odds system. Oklahoma City has an 11.5% chance of having the number one pick, Cleveland as well. Minnesota is interesting because if Minnesota's pick is not one of the top three, then that pick gets conveyed to Golden State. You may know Golden State as the team on the West Coast that has Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. Draymond Green ain't the fear factor he used to be.
That would be accurate.
Because that dude is awful.
But he is still a factor. He is still a factor, not a fear factor, as you say.
Yeah. He used to be like, man, you know, Draymond Green would impact the game.
I mean, he'll poke you in the eye now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he still does, but...
take LeBron on out of there.
I mean, if you lock Ben Simmons and Draymond Green in a gym.
I shot at the one in the middle.
And you say, y'all can't come out until y'all both hit a three. And they going to be in there for a while. They really will.
Yeah. It's a few things nastier in the league than watching Draymond decide. His brain, you see the gears moving.
Yep.
I'm going to take this three. I mean, it's an ugly thing to watch, and it's a slow process. Then he decides, and it's always the same result.
That's
brick.
Exactly right.
Brick.
Yes, always a brick. And Ben Simmons, he never takes them. At least he knows not to take them. And so the lottery will be tonight. Look,
he needs to work on it.
The upshot for the Memphis Grizzlies is that you hope that Minnesota's pick is one of the top three,
so yes. They keep it. That's what you're saying, yes.
Which is weird.
I like the way you put that. That's because that's right.
That's
can be confusing. It's not.
Yeah, if Minnesota gets a top three pick,
which they have a
9% chance of getting the number one pick, right? So you would say maybe a 20-some-odd percent chance
they
of getting
get the talent,
three.
Though. Still do nothing with it.
That's exactly. You'd never have to worry
Although
about
Although Edwards,
Minnesota
at the end of the season, there was some fear factor with
that
what
man. What did that equate to?
I'm just saying, he turned a corner.
Fear factor like when you ate the buffalo balls. Is about what that was with Anthony Edwards there, you know?
The who?
Yeah, that's what they used to do on Fear Factor. You don't remember Joe Rogan before he was a podcaster?
I remember like the sheep eyes and all that.
Oh, yeah, you ate bull testicles.
Oh, man.
They used to do that all the time.
I remember when they had to eat those big roaches, those big cockroaches. Mm-mm. Sometimes I have to eat a live one.
Would you rather watch?
And it was only for like $10,000, wasn't it? It wasn't like they had $100,000 prize.
Well, adjusted for inflation, it might damn near be $100,000 today.
Mm-mm-mm. No, that $10,000 then wasn't going a long way either. And I'm not you eating a bug for it, eating sheep
you
eyes and all that.
You wouldn't sit in a tank of snakes for $10,000?
Heck no.
If I told you they're not going to bite you that hard.
You just added the two key words, that hard. They're going to be biting. It's more of the, as you say, fear factor, John.
Would you rather?
I got fear of snakes like Ben got fear of free throws, fool.
Would you rather have a spider on your hand with a blindfold, or would you rather be in a pit full of snakes?
My thing ain't spiders. I told you, my thing is North Memphis water bugs. You put me in that thing, there is no amount of money I would sit down
those.
In there for you. Because, again, you got holes on your body, and them roaches going to be looking for them holes.
Yeah, like, and then,
so
like.
So you better keep them closed.
I would always go out on the, when every, like, the second round every time was like you had to eat something crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, you had to eat something
and
absolutely.
That's my
I'd be like,
whole
I'm out, I ain't doing
the
that.
The prize money was not worth the what you had to eat.
I mean, there's.
It was not worth it.
There's normal things I won't eat. You know, let alone whatever the hell they were doing. But that's the upshot for the Grizz tonight. You really hope that Minnesota does pick in the top three because,
get
as you said,
yes.
they will get a really good player and somehow manage to do nothing with him. Golden State could draft a guy like Scottie Barnes. Now, again, he can't shoot either, but I guess it's six.
We agree, Golden State gonna get one of those playoff spots even if the pick fails,
presuming health for Clay. And Steph, yes.
Correct.
Yes, as
correct.
Long as those guys are healthy.
And James going to bounce back, man.
I don't think so. I think he's done in Golden State, dude. I think he's out. I think
stop.
I think they're trying.
Stop.
That's what I
stop.
Think.
That kid's too valuable to be out.
Dude, I
can
see them playing Kevon Looney
let
over
Let him get
him.
Back from injury and all that stuff. The injury, the sideline in the end of the season. Hell, then he had a COVID thing he had to deal with early in the year. You never really got a full picture of him at full health for an extended amount of time. To be deciding already he's not part of it. I realize there's some of that him and Steph don't work as much on the pick and roll. That didn't work. And you got to be on the same page with Steph. Mm-hmm. But give that kid some time. James Wiseman's a smart basketball player, man. He can get it figured out.
Yeah, I mean, look, I agree. I don't know if it's going to be in Golden State.
Because Steve Kerr went public and was tough on him publicly. We've decided you're out on him. No.
They don't know how to handle rookies
like
that.
It could actually work.
He's going to get lost in the shuffle next year because they're going to be competing for championships.
Wow.
They are.
I just
I'm
think
sorry.
It's way too early for that.
I'm not closing the book on his career. I'm closing his
on Golden State, which we were saying is such the
because
perfect fit for him just a few months earlier. I mean, we didn't see enough of it. Sure.
Yes.
He wasn't on the same page with Steph. You can get on the same page because you realize Steph runs that thing and I better. And I just think James Wiseman is that kind of smart that if it's you better fix it here. To get this right now, that you look at that situation, you say, Golden State's too good an organization for me to screw this up. So best believe I'm gonna get on board.
Well, they're just
like
not,
you
they're
can
not
win them over,
him.
John.
They're not gonna wait on him. They are if he does not come correct in year two, they
Dude,
will.
We
they
saw
will
some
move
flashes of
him.
Brilliance from that man last yes. season before he went down. My goodness, how quickly he turned on James Wiseman.
It's not me saying it; it's Steve Kerr.
He just one time went public, and if he had a chance to do it over again,
you've read the stories though out of Golden State.
Like I just told you, the stuff with Steph—that's the key stuff.
They're going to be trying to compete for a title next year because their window is closing. And if James Wiseman,
it's a hell of a statement to say he's already done. I just think you're way too early on that one.
I think they're going to trade him. That's what I think. I think they're going to trade him, and I think it might be the best thing for him. You know, it might be the best thing for him to get a new change.
It's too damn early for all that.
Well, what kind of organization are you running over here, man? I mean, you just going to be patient with everybody?
Did you see that man? We were talking about him with Brian Windhorst at one point last season, early in the year, for Rookie of the Year, where he takes the rebound,
yes.
goes all the way down on the other, goes
game
coast to coast.
That was
yes.
game two.
And the guy got hurt and missed a significant portion of the season.
I mean,
missed some of it with the COVID stuff. Give me a break. We haven't even.
Look,
it's too small a sample size for you and Steve Kerr
this is
and
not
that
me.
Front office to
it's
be out on
me.
Him already.
It's not me. It's Steve
it's
Kerr.
They're,
and the things that are coming out and the anonymous stuff that's already emanating. It's just,
not like he can't improve is the whole
I
the
agree.
End to this conversation.
But will he improve
enough?
He'll be enough,
trying to win them over.
Will he improve enough to where Golden State is pleased and that he can be on the floor for them on the run to a title?
What the hell are you going to get for James Wiseman?
A lot. You could get a lot.
Another pick that pushes it down the road?
I mean,
no,
yeah.
they need, no, to your point, they want to win now. That's the point. So it better be. You're about to get possibly two picks in this one, John. You better get you another veteran if you're trading away James Wiseman all of a sudden.
I find it hard to believe that you can't see a way that
ridiculous.
Golden State moves on from James Wiseman.
This is a premature conversation, man. That dude can still win
premature
them over.
By a couple months, maybe. I mean, we can have the conversation if you want to wait during the season.
You come on in here and the day you lead off the rundown with James Wiseman getting traded.
It may
be
the best
season.
Thing for him.
I'm not saying that it wouldn't be that he wouldn't be fine somewhere else. My point is that it's too early to say he's not fine in Golden State. Like it was all a perfect fit. We all said it. We've changed this much based on some rumors about with Steph and the one time that Steve Kerr went out and publicly.
Well, and again, they looked at him. They
criticized
said that Steph
him.
Was better without James Wiseman on the floor. You know, and Steph calls the shots.
Because James Wiseman was a rookie that didn't completely get it, and it was so small a sample size.
I agree.
There wasn't time enough
he'll
for
have
him
a chance.
To get it.
He'll
That's
have
the
a
bottom line.
They'll give him another chance.
Yes, they will. He'll win him over.
I don't think he's going to get three chances. I don't think he's going to get three, four,
I ain't the biggest
chances.
James Wiseman fan, but that dude was smart and skilled, and he can figure it out.
Yeah. But the draft lottery, of course, is tonight. The Grizzlies, which it's a great thing, are not in the draft lottery tonight.
Hopefully never to be back. Quite frankly, unless you got using
well, if you
somebody else's
to
pick,
Rashad Phillips, they will never be back as long as Ja's here.
Well, using somebody else's pick,
right.
Yeah,
but
because
they've
got
that Golden
some
State
of those
pick's
now.
Not going to be. I mean, Utah is not going to be a lottery pick, but it'll be interesting because what are they going to do? I mean, I guess it could be a lottery pick. It could. You know, we can't rule it out. Like, is Donovan Mitchell by himself going to be enough? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Golden State.
And doesn't that Golden State one come to fruition by the time that Steph's kind of getting up there?
Yes,
it does. So,
yes.
potentially. Again, you're right. I mean, if you consider Clay full health, all that, they got a couple of good years, maybe a few good years.
2024, so that's 3 years
from
now.
Yeah, that's Steph, and that's what, well over 30, north of 35?
Yeah.
Is it not at that point?
I mean, he's going to be 36 years old.
That's what I'm saying. So to think that one couldn't end up a lottery, I think you'd be premature on that one. I think it's got a chance as long as they're coming on down by that
yeah.
point. That Steph and those guys are coming down. Now, they might not be.
And then the Jazz
especially
pick.
If James Wiseman figures it out.
Right. I mean, I think the Jazz pick is around that time, too. That'll be an interesting one as well. But the NBA draft lottery is tonight. The thing we're watching for is if Minnesota can get in the top three, that way they do not have to convey the pick to Golden State.
Next story.
All right, Phoenix and the Clippers tonight. It's game two. Phoenix up 1-0, thanks in large part to Devin Booker's 40-point triple-double. He was fantastic. Heard Jessica Benson talking about him earlier. She's right. I mean, that dude, for a lot of people, nobody thought that Devin Booker could be that dominant in that many different ways. Like she mentioned, I loved it. The five assists in the fourth quarter. He's not just doing this with a mid-range game or a long-range game or, more importantly, just shot-jacking. He's doing it all the way around. So it was a Kawhi Leonard-type effort from him. But also, and it deserved another shout-out, He got a respect burger yesterday. Cameron Payne, who it looks like will be starting for the second consecutive game for Chris Paul at point guard for the Phoenix Sun. The Memphian went to Lausanne Collegiate School, had 9 assists in that first game, which is getting the job done when you are the backup point guard for that team. Suns a 5-point favorite last I looked. The Clippers, too. Kawhi's been ruled out, obviously. And watch for Marcus Morris, who got banged up in that last one. And he's been critical for them, doing a little bit of treatment on the knee. Got hurt, what was that, at some point in game two. Went down, only played 5 minutes in the second half of that first Clippers loss, 121-114 to the Suns back in game one. So, you know, as shorthanded as they are, they need everything they can get from Marcus Morris. And even if he's able to go but not 100%, that's a bit of a – just put more pressure on Paul George. Again, can you depend on Terrence Mann? Reggie Jackson has had moments in these playoffs, but is he a guy that you can sort of say, okay, now we need you to go out and get us 20-25? Yep. Not somebody that you can depend on a per-game basis. So they need Marcus Morris to go and be relatively healthy in this one. Again, made the point, you know, I think even with just Paul George, no Kawhi, this Clippers team, even if they go down 0-2, still a threat. You got to put them away. They're not going to fold up. We've seen that, yes, with Kawhi in those instances, but both against Dallas, against Utah, literally the first team in playoff history to come back from down 0-2. They just won't fold if it goes to a game three and they're – I mean, when it goes to a game three and they're down 0-2,
yep.
They will not fold. So I expect this to still be a pretty decent series. I don't know. Chris Paul, when he comes back, and it may shift the balance.
Yep.
In terms of what the Clippers are, how competitive they're able to make this. John thinks it's a sweep. I think it, you
well,
know,
I
could still go.
Chris Paul might be back by now, but
yeah, that's okay. And I still think it could go six, but we both agree that the Phoenix Suns have got the perfect opportunity here to go to the finals. I mean, now, I mean, what are right. we talking about here, especially with the way Devin Booker's playing? So game two tonight, draft lottery is going to be right before it. You can watch it all over at ESPN. Again, that's an 8 p.m. tip on Clippers and Suns.
It was weird.
Next story.
It was weird to not have NBA basketball last night.
It was the first time in a while, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, I mean, it really was.
A game, yeah.
I mean, you got to go back to what? Like, basically, you know, October, November.
The whole start of everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was strange last night to legitimately.
I did notice that. You're right.
Because the way they staggered the schedule sort of in a strange way, you know. But I guess if we would have had NBA basketball last night, we wouldn't have any NBA. But like, because both Eastern Conference semis went 7 games, you know, that's kind of why we got the that's why we got the staggeredness, I guess you would say.
It was rough too, because I ended up on Lethal Weapon, which, have you seen Lethal Weapon 1? Like, that movie, you go back and watch it now, and it's every bit of 1987.
It didn't hold up, huh?
Nah, it didn't hold up very well, even though Love Riggs.
That's Murtaugh and Riggs.
Yes. You've never watched the original, have you?
No.
Then I got on Hell's Kitchen, and so it was a vast wasteland
yes,
without the NBA programming. Last night. Yeah. And Hell's Kitchen, man, it's
man,
the
you
same.
Be watching the most random stuff, man.
Well, there was nothing. I was literally scrolling through because I'm done with Game of Thrones.
Right.
I am disappointed.
Season 8 was disappointing, underwhelming, let you down.
There were moments of it that were unbelievable.
It's relatively mind-blowing to me that you
like
watched
the Battle
this
of Winterfell was unbelievable.
Yes.
Then the overall battle that Daenerys, you know, wages on King's Landing
of
was
course.
Unbelievable.
Who could forget?
But the aftermath, it wasn't Sopranos-type letdown where it's like, what, I'm supposed to figure this out for myself?
I don't think you should hold that up as the grand letdown.
You don't, just because you don't agree with me doesn't mean I'm not right on that.
They left the
it
ending
was an
open.
Absolute, it was an absolute letdown.
Up to interpretation.
Right, up to artistic interpretation.
That's
exactly.
a good
it's
thing.
Ridiculous.
Some people, you mean, you want to be
either
told
they got
what to
shot,
think?
The family got shot up, or they didn't. That was not this. Like, we know what happened, but it was still, you know, I just thought a weak way to go out. We just kind of went out with a... After a huge,
right.
you know, all these fireworks during season 8 that you would expect.
Yeah.
They'd tie up all the loose ends.
That's right.
But the end just
And
like,
there were many.
And you're like, that's it?
You invested a lot of damn time in that thing, bro. 8 seasons? What was the span of time that you watched this?
Probably wife and I probably knocked it out in, you know, month.
That's commitment, bro. I mean, 8 seasons? God, and every episode's an hour long, right?
Yeah. And the last couple of seasons, it was sort of can't wait to get back. Like, first couple, it took me a while to get drawn in. I told you that.
Yeah.
It's never a big dragon.
What was, okay, so because I know a lot of people who are listening, they love Game of Thrones.
It always surprises me. They can just spit the storylines right out at you, even all these years removed from it.
Like, I don't have
They know the names, the storylines, they remember it all.
I don't have the time nor the inclination to go back and watch
this
series.
Will at some point.
I will not.
When your daughter's a little bit more grown up.
What if we talk about 18 years from now, dog? I mean, I'm not even...
Yeah.
Who knows? We'll all be dead by then. What was the best moment of the series? Like, what was what was your favorite moment of Game of Thrones? What's your answer?
The Battle of the Bastards.
Okay, what season was that?
The Battle of the Bastards. I'm not that it was Snow versus Ramsay Bolton.
Okay.
And I'm not. Winterfell was awesome.
Season
most folks
six.
Would say, and the Night King, and yes, y'all, I saw that too, and I would put it high. But I wanted to stab Ramsay Bolton myself.
Got you.
And so when he got his, and that's not the way he goes, by the way.
Yep.
When he got his, it was very satisfying.
So I'll give you a little bit of trivia.
Because it looked bad in the Battle of the Bastards.
Battle of the Bastards.
For the good guys.
They set a record. This episode set a record. It received a record 6 Primetime Emmy Awards.
Look at that.
I mean, dude, you should be on the committee.
I nailed the best one.
You should be on the committee, man. I mean, you really are.
Thank you.
You're a tastemaker out here.
Thank you. I mean, all these years later.
Your critical direction, eye.
My next thing, and one of our listeners suggested this, I'm going to watch 5, 6, 7 years later, Entourage. So I'll be able to break that down.
Oh, man, that'll be good.
Because I had someone tell me it's not just for white folks.
There are a lot of people out here wondering what you think of Entourage all these years
later. You'll be surprised.
People are waiting with bated breath. Anyway, yes, we're gonna have the Battle of the Bastards tonight. Clipper Suns. That's game 2 in the Western Conference Finals.
Next story.
Before we get to Paul Feinbaum, a very serious story that we should address here on the show. A landmark day, you would say, in the NFL yesterday, as Carl Nassib became the first active NFL player to come out as gay. And he did it very matter-of-factly. You know, he basically posted an Instagram video where he was like, "Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm gay." I mean, that's what he did. And he says he's donating $100,000 to the Trevor Project, which is obviously a fund that is in support of
suicide prevention
absolutely.
For LGBTQ.
And in the sort of statement that he released that accompanied his video, you know, and it's something that I retweeted that is striking, really. According to Carl, studies have shown that all it takes is one accepting adult to decrease the risk of an LGBTQ kid attempting suicide by 40%. So just one accepting adult takes that risk down by 40%. And Carl says, whether you're a friend, a parent, a coach, or a teammate, you can be that person. Now, you know, I'm a parent now, and we live in a totally, you know, a rapidly changing society, right? And I think a more inclusive society, right? A more open-hearted society, which I think is to the good, right? It's to the good. But I have never... as a straight man, had to, and you're in the same boat, you know, I've never had to think, oh, I need to come out. I need to declare that I am a straight man. I have never had to worry about how is this going to affect me in my job? How is this going to affect me in my personal life? I have never had to consider for a single moment my straightness.
With your own family in some instances, right?
Yeah. Like, I've never had, like, it's never been a consideration. It's that privilege, right? It is that privilege of being, you know, a straight male. And so I really sympathize with, because he said he was holding this in for 15 years.
Right.
And I can understand why. When you're in the NFL, and it's the friggin' NFL, it's the league of manly men, mm-hmm. of masculinity. You worry, right? You have that natural fear of how is this going to be received, you know? Because if he came in the league in 2006, again, totally different time from now to 2006. He's worried about, if I did this, how will it impact my career? Michael Sam, of course, the linebacker from Missouri, he came out as gay, but that was before he got drafted.
Right.
So Carl is the first to do it as an active NFL player, where there would be, you know, could be real ramifications. And I think Michael Sam did end up getting drafted late.
Cowboys, wasn't it?
Was it the Cowboys? I can't remember who
it
was.
I could be wrong. I thought it was the Cowboys.
Yeah, but I think he did end up getting...
Side note.
He did end up getting drafted. I don't think he ever made the roster or stuck. But you know, this is a, you know, it's a courageous thing to do that. And I think it does also give you a sense of how far the NFL has come, because I don't think Carl would have done that, given that he kind of kept it inside for 15 years, if he didn't have, you know, support within the league and his team, obviously with the Raiders, and John Gruden talking about how proud he was, and you know how it shows the kind of man that Carl is, you know. So I do think it's brave, and I think it is something that could have such a positive impact, not just in the NFL but across all of sports, right? That people are encouraged and enlightened. That if you're living with this burden, if you feel like it is a burden to you, if you're living with this weight, you know, let it go. Be yourself. Be true to who you are. You know, and let the chips fall where they may. You know, because I think that is certainly, and again, I don't live that life, right? Like I am a straight guy, but I certainly sympathize with, you know, that mindset, and I hope that we are in a place now in the NFL and in society where, you know, we don't judge people. Certainly, there are not, you know. Punishments or anything like that.
Rams.
Right, you got drafted by the Rams, yeah. And so I think this is a positive step in that direction. You know, I really do.
Yeah. You laid it all out there pretty much how I feel as well. But more important than how we feel is sort of, I guess, what's next is it was nice to hear from the commissioner and everybody come to us,
yep.
Saquon Barkley, those kinds of things. But you wonder what it's going to be like for him in that locker room and whether or not you'll get that same support across the board.
It's true. I mean,
I don't think we're so far removed from the old days, John, that there's not still some of those old attitudes.
Agreed.
Let's be
real. Let's not be naive.
Too. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm sure some would say in there, well, why did it take you this long? If I'm your teammate, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How come you didn't tell me? You know, that they might feel. And again,
that can be explained. That's
on him. That and can it can be explained. Yeah. And I get that. But they'll look and say, well, you know, I have a right to have an opinion too. And I wonder if they'll get that, in which they should,
right,
in an open conversation.
Absolutely.
That you should have with Nasib, right? It's
yes.
Not Nasib. It's not
Carl Nassib. Yeah.
Nassib. Will you get that open conversation dialogue? Because that's what's going to help.
Oh, for sure.
Ultimately, that's how, you know, the acceptance, all that, it happens with open conversation dialogue.
No doubt.
Or do they still hold those same views and will just say it behind his back?
Right.
And talk about him behind his back.
Well, because, and in the end,
because that's that old school approach that where nothing will get done.
Well, and you can't change that. You can't control that.
No, you can't. You know? But
I mean, the one thing that you really, really hope that does not happen.
But let's not be naive either.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Every man in that locker room ain't going to be with him on this.
My only thing.
And have that 100% support.
My hope is that if Carl Nassib is the best man for the job with the Raiders on the defensive line,
of course,
then he should be allowed to have that job and not held back because he has come out as gay. That's all I'm saying. Like that you can't control what people think. You can't control what people say. You know, all you can do is be who you are and hope that doing that does not preclude you from opportunities. That is the main takeaway for me. And it doesn't feel as though that is going to – I think there was certainly a time not too long ago where it would have.
No, you know? Because let me tell you what ain't the answer, and you see it so many times from these young babies, man. They and I say babies, I mean youths that are getting in a position where they're committing suicide. Like to his point, that is never right the answer.
No
doubt. But to feel like you're pushed to that kind of decision, we got to get away from that.
Absolutely.
Folks that are, you know, again, what it's the Trevor Project, right?
Yep.
Like that's good work.
Absolutely.
Because it suicide is one of the key things in this, is that kids don't, you know, I mean, you talked about how long it took them to get to this point where you felt comfortable enough to come out, because most of the time you're not. You're thinking about the ramifications, and we can go to school or football team that you're on and all that, but a lot of times it's within your own family, sort of what that acceptance level is going to be. It's within your own church what that acceptance level is going to be, because so we know where some churches are, mm-hmm, on homosexuality. And so all of that, the more help you can get for folks that are facing, right, those kinds of questions, like, is it enough to go on,
yep,
because I'm so scared of what my family or my church or my football team's going to say? Man, the more help, the better, because that is an ending that none of us can, you know, none of us would wish on anyone.
Yeah,
it's the worst.
Absolutely.
When you're pushed to that point, so. I appreciated the $100,000 donation and all the work that the Trevor Project is trying to do as well.
Thought it was a courageous move by Carl Nassib. He certainly didn't know that to anybody.
That's courageous.
But hopefully it will inspire many others who are might be in the same situation to do the same, because I think that is where the real power comes from. Okay, we'll come back. Paul Feinbaum going to join us. We will talk to him about the NIL, about Memphis, how it impacts the Tigers, playoff implications, all that and more up next. Jason and John, 92 FM, ESPN.
Barbecue and sports in Memphis go together perfectly with us. You're listening to the Jason and John Show live from the Topps Barbecue Studios, online at toppsbarbecue.com. And with a new location in Bartlett on Stage Road, the best barbecue and burgers from Topps go perfectly with sports on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
He is a great Paul Feinbaum. He's the host of the Paul Feinbaum Show. He's from Memphis. Let's make him the giant interview.
Now, it's the giant interview presented by A-Team Roofing. Online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Paul, how you been, man? Everything good?
Yeah, I'm great, guys. I missed talking, and more than anything, I miss Memphis. I keep trying to figure out a reason to come back. Maybe you guys can create an opportunity.
Well, how about access to the college football playoff? Would that be enough?
Hey. That would at this rate, Memphis will have 10 games. I mean, because it pretty much we're about to expand this thing. 12 doesn't really seem enough, does it?
No, it might as well be 68.
Right.
You know, let's just go to a straight NCAA tournament. You know,
since we have really never found four good teams, the perfect logic of college athletics is let's just triple it or quadruple it or just, you know, let's let everybody in.
So do you not like it? You sound like you don't like it.
No, I'm kidding. I had a commissioner, actually a retired commissioner, call me the other day, and I was somewhat mocking him. He was just saying, well, I don't know why we're doing this. We couldn't find four. I'm like going, I want to say, are you currently working right now? And he said, I mean, obviously not. This is done. I for all the negativity that I just played around with, I think it's a big moment in college athletics because four didn't work. It didn't matter whether there were four good teams or not. It just wasn't working. It wasn't drawing attention. It wasn't drawing excitement. So give them credit. Instead of just going to the next level, which was six or eight, they went to 12, which lets the whole party in. And you know, even though there's no justification for it, it doesn't matter to me. I think assuming they do it in 2 years and not wait till the end of the contract, it's going to be a boom for college football.
So can you see a day, Paul, where Memphis is the AAC champion, they're the 8 seed hosting a 9? Can you see that happening? Will the Memphises be able to pull that off?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. And, you know, people are worried, well, this guarantees the Pac-12 a spot. No, it doesn't. It doesn't guarantee anyone,
right,
really. And I think it's good for the group of five, or really, that's not even really a good phrase to use anymore, because I think Memphis, UCF, Cincinnati, schools like that are really a cut above that.
Yeah.
Does this kill off realignment, in your opinion?
No. And I know that may sound like a strange answer, but I've heard more whispers about the realignment in the last couple of days, and I think there's a theory going around that some of the leagues just are not going to be able to hold up. You know, take your pick on which one of the Power Five you don't think will make it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, if let's say you're the Big 12 or you're the Pac-12 and you don't get in every year now, you're going to have to start thinking about doing something else. And the one commonality that those two leagues have, the Big 12 does not have a conference network, which is really important. And the Big 12 has a conference network, which is really unimportant because they've done such a poor job with it. So I could see it. Not to start rumors,
sure,
but they will deny it. But I'm telling you right now, if Oklahoma could figure out a way to get out of the Big 12, mm-hmm, they would be in the SEC tomorrow.
We'll have our graphics team go ahead and sort of get this ready for aggregation, Paul. That Paul Feinbaum.
By the way, that was off the record.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Look, we went through this in Memphis in 2016, right? We all kind of pinned our collective hopes on the Big 12 expanding and taking Memphis, and of course, Memphis never really even got close. This time around, what would conference realignment mean? And I know you don't necessarily, we don't bring you on to be the Memphis expert, but you are a college football mind. What would that mean for Memphis and Houston and Cincinnati and those schools like Memphis?
Well, I may not be a Memphis expert, but my introduction to college football was at the Liberty Bowl Stadium, so I feel like I've
it's in your
I've
blood.
Got some connection.
That's right.
Yeah, I've even been to high school games at Crump Stadium. I don't know. I'm
there
assuming
you go.
It's not there any longer.
Still there.
I think. Well, good. I think it's good for those schools because they really made a lot of noise and they're factors on the scene. And I know last year, you know, we had this love affair with Coastal Carolina and Louisiana, and that's okay. I mean, it was a different type of year, but I think Memphis is strong enough. Back to the Big 12. I mean, what did they gain by wasting everyone's time for a couple of months and then end up, you know, choking at the end? I mean, I just don't like the trajectory of that league, and I think they are clearly the most vulnerable. And, you know, who knows what Texas is thinking right now? I mean, they're looking across the state and seeing Texas A&M is one of the top schools in the country. They're on their fourth or fifth coach since Mack Brown. And, Oklahoma State, they're always good for a choke job toward the end of the season with Mike Gundy. Iowa State is a factor. But, guys, do you really want to pin your hopes on Iowa State as your marquee school other than Oklahoma?
It's brutal. It's brutal.
Right.
And so I think that is certainly the conference that we're talking about that would dissolve or merge or whatever. Yeah, absolutely. That would be the one. We're talking to Paul Feinbaum, host of the Paul Feinbaum Show here from Memphis. Always appreciate having him on the show. Last thing on the playoff and sort of the impact that it could have. Would Josh Heupel have left UCF for Tennessee if this model was enacted?
I think he would have for this reason. I think Heupel was smart enough to look around and go and say to himself, whatever I do here, it won't be enough. After 17 with Scott Frost, I think he was always going to be in the shadow of that perfect season. I still hear from UCF fans to this day who want to go out on the street and fight about UCF having a better team in Alabama that year. And I'm stupid because I keep falling for it. And, you know, the current Tennessee coach and the current Tennessee AD, the Tennessee AD made a lot of noise when he was at UCF. And he made the right decision. He's got a couple of years of a free pass in Knoxville. I mean, we're now, I said this the other day on our program. If Josh Heupel, you know, has a chance to be bowl eligible this year at Tennessee, I'm going, did I say that? I mean, Philip Fulmer got fired for not competing for championships,
right.
And everyone else has failed since then. And now we're talking about Tennessee as if they can just get to a bowl game this year, doesn't matter where it is, doesn't matter if it's in the contiguous United States, that would be great. That's how far that program has fallen.
Paul, obviously been a lot of talk. The U.S. Supreme Court decision comes down yesterday, 9-0, siding against the NCAA, and saw you this morning on Get Up, have heard you say it, that it's over for the NCAA. This is the beginning of the end. Just go ahead. Hadn't had the funeral yet, but you might as well go ahead and have it. What does it look like on the other side, Paul? Once we get there, who's calling the shots in an ideal situation? Is it a smaller NCAA group? What are we looking at on the other side in an ideal situation?
We're still waiting for a coalition or a cartel to come out of where we are right now. I mean, 5 years from now, somebody will call and say, well, I thought you said it was over. I mean, it's over in theory because
right.
The NCAA, and I won't waste everyone's time on doing a law school class here, but they did not have to go this road.
Mm-hmm.
Their arrogance and haughtiness and self-importance pushed them to the edge, and they walked into a trap of which they did not have the guns to get out of it. And it was really, I'm just sorry the Supreme Court didn't have 14 men and women on the court. So it'd be more than 9-0 because that's how badly they got stuffed yesterday. And what's going to happen now is somebody else is going to file a case.
Mm-hmm.
May take a while that will crush the NCAA and it will crush them primarily from the standpoint of paying players. And I think back to what Memphis State went through, the University of Memphis went through a couple of years ago, and the eligibility issues, and I think all that's out the window now, guys. I mean, you unless you're caught on video of dropping a Lamborghini in front of a player, you're probably not going to get caught.
Well, Memphis certainly hopes that, you know, that is the case when this IRP ruling eventually comes down, whenever that may be. We are, of course, talking to Paul Feinbaum. Catch him on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Always appreciate his time. The sweeping impacts of the NIL, right? We just talked about sort of, you know, what it could mean for the NCAA. But what will it mean, you know, for these individual schools who are, you know, we talked about this yesterday. Does it exacerbate the inequality? Does it help a little bit at the margins with inequality, just from on a school-to-school basis, right? What does this look like?
Oh, I think it's going to create more inequality. I mean, if you don't have a fervent fan base, you're done. But, you know, a school like Memphis, we all know, you know, especially in now in football and always in basketball, there was a core group that was going to support the program through thick or thin. If you have an ambivalent fan base, you're going to get killed.
Yep.
Because you're not going to have anybody to support, you know, what we're talking about here, which is finding ways to give players more money. And we're not talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars here.
Sure.
You know, other than in the extreme, we're just talking about giving players a chance to make a little money, which I think they're entitled to now. And I mean, the only people that are really against this are the leadership of college athletics and right, probably the presidents and the commissioners. I mean, they don't want to act like it, but I mean, the presidents of the big schools and of the small schools, they're the ones that support the NCAA. They are the same ones who just gave the NCAA president Mark Emmert a new contract. If you guys did the job that he has done, I mean, you would be out on the street tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned Memphis. We had this conversation yesterday. They don't have the contract money, right? They can't. You know, the AAC doesn't even come close to what, you know, the SEC, the Big Ten, the ACC. They don't even come close. But like, let's just use this for an example, Paul. Like, you would not typically say as good a job as Ryan Silverfield has done in recent years. Like, Mississippi State would usually beat out Memphis for a recruit in football, right? But now, with the NIL, and let's just say all things are equal, and it's Starkville Commerce versus, you know, the city of Memphis's commerce, like, can Memphis and should Memphis be expected to beat Starkville and a Mississippi State on a kid regularly under these new sort of guidelines and this new landscape?
I think it's entirely possible, and you just mentioned maybe, you know, at least in the SEC, one of the most vulnerable schools, because, you know, as great as the fan base is for Mississippi State, it's not a very large, let's say you go into Jackson, Mississippi, you're not really sure what you're getting there. It's probably more Ole Miss than Mississippi
right.
State. Memphis clearly is. Columbus, Mississippi, I mean, I'm not being critical. You can get a good meal there, but is there enough there? And where Memphis is just so big and the Tigers are so important. So I think it's going to change the entire landscape of college athletics. You know, who will do well? A school like Georgia. You know, not only is Athens a fervent college town, Atlanta's around the corner.
Right.
I mean, Tuscaloosa, forget, you know, it's got Birmingham. You're going to need something to help support you. Because, I mean, even though, you know, there's a perception from the average fan, oh, yeah, I mean, everybody's going to, you know, fork over 50, 100. They're not. I mean, this is, mm-hmm. I mean, all of us are trying to make a living. And, you know, with everything else going on in the world, you know, supporting our favorite college football team after we've already paid for the tickets, paid for scholarship money, paid for licensing, it's not a cheap endeavor.
No, you're exactly right. And then, you know, every time we have you on, we have to ask you a Memphis basketball question. The latest news in the Memphis basketball world is that Larry Brown is most likely going to be on staff at the University of Memphis as an assistant coach.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.